Mamma Mia, here we go again. It's Broadway Breakdown on Popcorn Talk. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interview. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Broadway Breakdown.
That's
your dance move?
Always.
I always like have to do the...
Uh-huh.
This is my
you have to love room. ABBA. Like, ABBA's music is just wonderful.
It's just so catchy.
Yeah. It's so catchy.
That's what we talked about last week. We were just talking about how catchy all of their music is.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the show so much fun
right.
to go to.
Isn't this the first Broadway musical that did, like, an entire
soundtrack? That's what we were trying to discuss. I actually forgot to look it up, but we think it kind of, if it wasn't the first, it was definitely one of the first, and it was definitely one of the first that did it succeedingly.
Successfully, yeah. Because, like, American Idiot came after this.
American Idiot and the Frank Sinatra one we talked
right.
about. And there's just
and
so
Jersey
many.
Boys.
Jersey Boys. There's so many now. Like, it's become, like, a thing to do. You know, and now, but that, this is also one that did it that wasn't doing it for the story of that particular person's music.
You know? Oh, yes.
Like,
that,
Jersey
yeah.
Boys, even American Idiot are kind of autobiographical
right.
shows, and this one is just a story
I know.
This music.
I like, too, how the music of ABBA, like, fits very well with this story. Like, I'm like, that was clever.
We said that last week, too. We said this, they definitely, you can tell, they made the story around the music rather
yeah.
than... Here's music, here's a story, let's
yeah.
mush them together.
Right.
They're like, no, this is our music that we have, let's figure out a story
right.
that goes with it. So they definitely did their due diligence, and that's why the show worked so well. Thank you guys all for joining us for our little banter there. Like I said, we are here talking Mamma Mia, the film this week. If you weren't here with us last week, go check out that video. We talked to the theater show. I am your host, Brianna Phipps. You guys can find me at bphipps14 on Twitter and Instagram. And I have two lovely ladies next to me.
Hi, I'm Becca Brown. Y'all can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BeccaBTalksTV.
And I'm 123 Jackie B on all platforms. I love having Becca here when there's a person that we don't like in the cast, like Pierce Brosnan. Because I have a feeling you will love him. Remember our Dan Stevens problem?
She'll exude, whether or not she likes him or not, she'll exude positivity towards
yes.
him.
Well, because he's good looking.
He is really...
hey,
you know what's
hey,
funny?
I love Pierce Brosnan in multiple movies. He was great James Bond.
Oh, he was a great James Bond.
He was amazing in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
He has a nice facial structure.
I'm not going to hate on him as an overall actor
you
for one role.
You know what's so funny is, like, the whole time I'm watching this, I was like, it's such a shame that a man, like, this handsome, who is such a good actor and who's so debonair, like, it's such a shame that the music that comes out of his mouth is so disappointing. Because you're just looking at him with, like, stars in your eyes and you're like, okay, I'm waiting for this magical moment for when you sing. And it's like, meh. And you're like, oh dear.
let's break this down by song, and that way we can get to the good songs and the bad songs,
yes.
and kind of compare them within to the theater show songs. Because I feel like this is the only way I can figure out how to break this musical down without just being negative. A large portion.
Oh, no, there's
of
definitely
time.
Stuff. There's definitely
I know,
stuff that
but
I love.
I just know that like me. And I know you, and I know
yeah.
that we'll probably, like, talk about Pierce Brosnan for half an hour.
Oh, yeah, but I love, I
if
mean...
If we're given the chance.
I know, it's true. I don't mean to be, like, a sad sack, because I do love, like, Dominic Cooper, I thought was phenomenal.
He's
I just, I had such
too.
A crush on him this whole
so
time.
So let's start it off with I Have a Dream, which is, you know, Amanda Seyfried, and I actually like Amanda Seyfried a lot in this film. It was more her voice range to me than Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
You commented earlier. We watched the movie this morning. So I could have it fresh in my mind. But yeah, I
was like, her voice was so, like, high and Les Mis. I feel like this actually fit her
voice better.
Yeah.
Plus, she has that personality.
Good.
This was, I think, she was wonderful in this. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this was a perfect role for her.
I was also just jealous of how tan she was because
yeah.
of being I'm guessing
that
was
the other thing. It's like I'm looking at her and Meryl Streep, who are usually not tan. They're usually like very white, tastic people, and I'm like, I wonder what spray tan they use because
yep.
I'm quite sure that like those actresses did not want to damage their skin, and so I'm like, they used a really good spray tan. Wonder where they got it from. Wonder who did it. Like that
it's
was
probably
my
partial
thought
spray
process.
Tan, partial filming on an island.
Yeah,
outside.
Right. This was all going through my head as I'm watching it, being envious of
definitely
my camera work.
But yeah, I Have a Dream. It was nice, you know. We see the letters going off in the mail. It's the same. It's in, pretty much in the theater show.
Right.
And then we move on to Honey, Honey. And I kind of liked that they did this with, like, her friends coming back to the island, because in the theater show, her friends are already there. Her friends, I don't think, have ever left the island in the theater show. So I thought that was kind of fun to have the two best friends come in and her, like, spring this news on them and be running around and letting us see the island.
Right. That was another thing I thought of as I was watching it, because when you see the stage play, the stage is so cool. Like, it's on a rotating set, and the way you look at it, you're like, ooh, like, the only thing a movie can do is get a really good location to be able to make up for the things you miss on the set. And they did that. They picked a very beautiful location. And so everything you saw had this, like, gorgeous blues, like, juxtaposed against, like, the white buildings.
We had the forests and...
Yeah. Everything I just, around. I loved the set. I'm like, this is what you have to do to make up for, like, a set that people really loved, in a show that people really loved. You have to pick a location that people are going to, like, drool over.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to teleport there.
Yeah. It's so gorgeous. Like, you want to live there.
I want the tan.
Yeah,
and
I want
the beach.
The tan.
Yeah.
Because I don't have
And the lifestyle.
I mean, even the goat building looked cute, where they're all staying.
The old, oh yeah,
the
old goat.
The old goat building. I don't remember.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also love just the line of, like, them running into Donna and her, like, welcoming the best friends, because obviously they grew up together, and she was probably, like, a second mother to them as well, just like I'm sure all of our best friends' parents were to us.
Right.
And then just being, she's just like, oh, I used to have fun. They're just like, oh,
we know.
We know.
I know. I love that. And then her face.
I also love the fact that, like, in both the theater show and this, that dot, 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 they're just like, oh, that's what they used to do
in
the olden days.
In the olden days.
Dot, dot, dot. They couldn't write sex.
You know what? Thinking about, like, they're in the olden days, the other thing I appreciated here was that you could do flashbacks, so you get to see each of the dads in their, like, old-timey 70s, old-timey, as
God.
Like, it's the 1800s, but in their, like, 1970s gear, and it was hilarious. So funny and so much fun to see that.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like dot, dot, dot is something that I would do.
That you would do? You would write dot, dot, dot in your diary?
But it's your diary. Ostensibly, no one's going to see it.
Unless you have a diary.
I don't actually
nosy.
Have a diary that I'm keeping.
It's all dot, 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 Becca.
Dot, 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 dot,
dot, dot, dot, dot, dot, dot, dot, dot.
And then we move on to Money, 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 where we have Donna's two best friends join on the island, Tanya and Rosie. And this one was kind of where parts of it fell off for me, where I felt like they tried to do too much sometimes.
Yeah, what's interesting is they're doing this kind of, like, very heightened acting that you do in a stage musical for a film, and it's a lot when it's all coming at you all at once, like, on a screen, whereas I'm like, if I was watching this in a theater, I might feel differently, but yeah, you're right, that sometimes some of that acting is a little, you feel like, oh my gosh, it's a little bit much.
Them on the
There's
boat.
Also a lot of people.
Like, it wasn't that it was bad scenes and stuff like that. It just, like, felt like you're trying to do too much. Like, you can do less.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot, like, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of things happening. Everything seems very frenetic. You're on a boat.
We're putting wind through your hair.
Yeah.
We're giving you cards to hold like you're in a Vegas casino.
Yeah, those were all really random, because it's like, you're, you know, we get the point of the song without you having to do that, all that stuff.
It's for the ADHD mind.
It's for the
ADHD. You're like, I don't know what it would look like if she had a lot of money. Here's a boat. Oh, got it.
Oh, yes. If she had money, she would be on a boat with a fan blowing her hair.
And you know what's funny? Is
fan.
I didn't now looking back, I didn't realize it was Molly Weasley.
Seriously, I said that to her today too. I was like, yeah, I love the fact that Mama Weasley's in this, and she's like, what?
Yeah, I did. Like, it does not look like
her.
That
was one of my favorite parts from the first time I saw it, was the fact, because that's when Harry Potter was still, like, the films were still being put out, and I was like, it's Mama Weasley.
Oh, yeah, and I both watched Mamma Mia in the movie theaters, and I've seen every Harry Potter film, so I'm like, I don't know how I didn't make this connection before.
The only difference, really, is that she's wearing glasses and has short hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, her hair is not red.
Is it the Superman effect here?
It is the Superman effect. It really is.
But now that's my favorite part of this movie.
So funny.
And she was so great in this.
She was really good. She was really good in this. I'm just not generally a fan of Christine Bransky, but I liked her in Chicago. I didn't like her in this just because, again, when you've seen the Broadway production, the lady is kind of more like one of those, like, Ab Fab characters. And Christine Bransky was just, like, it was just a weird fit. And then they're making all these jokes about plastic surgery and boobs. And I'm like, Christine Bransky does not have fake boobs. And she doesn't have a lot of plastic surgery. So I'm confused as to what these lines mean.
I didn't mind her in this film. I actually enjoyed her, but... it's always hard for me to watch her because in my mind, I always go to The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Well, I wanted to watch Cruel Intentions.
I forgot that she was in that scene. For me, it's just The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Then I remember that she's in all these other things. Lately, it's Big Bang Theory, that she's Sheldon's mom.
She is Sheldon's mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't the right character. And I also noticed that whenever she sings, they pull up the background vocals a lot, and that bothered me too, because I was like, you know, this isn't even one of the main roles, whereas, like, I see why they cast Pierce Brosnan in the sense that most of the main roles have actors who were, like, really well known, and I'm like, Christine Bransky, like, is usually, like, a side actor anyway, so it doesn't really matter who you brought in, and you could have brought someone with some, like, real powerhouse vocals.
Yeah, that still has its... I kind of wanted to see Kim Cattrall just because it was such a Samantha role.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see Kim Cattrall.
I don't know if Kim Cattrall can sing or not.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But if she could, I would love her in this role.
It's also an instance where I felt like, we've talked about this before, where you feel like they should sprinkle, like, Broadway actors.
Like, you have Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Like,
you have someone who will bring in headlines.
Like, Meryl Streep alone. Headliner.
Yeah.
Without any other powerhouse actors would bring people in to watch the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
She's a queen.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then we move on to Mamma Mia, the title song.
Right.
Which, again, for me, the same thing. Too much, like, and I don't blame Meryl Streep because I love her, but I think it's the direction in this case that they just had her do this very over-the-top acting for it to make it comedic. Which, in my mind, this song's not comedic to me. This song, there's comedic elements.
Upset. Yeah.
But, like, there's a guy that broke her heart, and she's seeing him for the first time in 20 years who may be the father of her child, and with two other people that may be the father of her child.
Right.
And it's, like, an anxiety attack going on with her. Not, like...
Not comedy.
Not comedy. It's comedic enough just to see her hiding from these guys in the theater show for me. I didn't need all this extra stuff going on.
Right. No, I'm with you on that, because they do... And I don't think it's the actors, like you said. I do think it was, it's, like, sad because I don't want to shit on the director, because it was, like, she was, like, this was the top grossing, like, female-directed film for a very long time until Wonder Woman. So it's hard for me to say this, but at the same time, I think there were some directorial choices where it's, like, they were, like, really punch up your acting, really punch up your acting.
I mean,
like,
we can shit on the directing, but, you know, at the end of the day, she... made a lot of money on this film. There's a sequel happening.
She did.
I feel like I can say negative things because she's doing fine.
Right, she is doing fine. She is doing fine. So. But yeah, it was like a very heightened acting choice that she had her actors make, and I am not, like...
It's just that...
I'm not so sure I was on board with all of it.
For the show, like, I feel like the subtle comedy works better.
Right.
Because of the storyline.
Yeah.
Because it is ultimately a story of people with broken heart and second chances, and that... you know, life doesn't end when you're 40.
And a lot of ABBA's music is, like, inherently whimsical, you know? You don't need to, like, try and make it whimsical because it is already.
Yeah.
I think, based off of your take on, like, how it's, like, comedic, when I was watching, or when I watched, like, as an adult versus when I watched when it came out, at first, like, I found it more comedic when I was a child, probably doing
like it
that.
Worked better for you as a child, you're saying?
No, or? Well, like, the comedy aspect in that scene worked well for me
children.
As a child. Yeah. So, I don't know.
I could see that, where, like, it's meant for a younger audience, because it is a family-friendly show, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because kids won't understand the subject matter of what's going on, even though, like, rewatching it, I was, like, taken aback because I forgot how much, like, innuendos are there.
Yeah, like the scene with the drill where she's like,
yeah, or like that it just outright says that, like, I'm not gonna let some guy walk in my house who hasn't been there for his daughter. All he did was have an ejaculation and stuff, and I'm like, Whoa. I was like, I do not remember this when right? I first watched the movie. I mean, I wasn't even that young, but like, I guess it just kind of fell out of my head over the time.
Yeah. And I don't even remember, you know what's funny is like, I saw the play on the first U.S. tour like in 2002. So it's hard, like, because it's a foggy memory. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in the original, like, play, I don't remember that much innuendo. But again, like, I was much younger.
Yeah. So who knows? I have to go back, because unfortunately I didn't have a chance to watch the Hollywood Bowl production. But I wonder, like, there probably is more innuendos than I remember.
Yeah, I was watching pieces of the Hollywood Bowl production online, and it did seem like there was a lot.
There was a lot more.
Yeah.
Disney actors in that thing. So many Disney actors.
I know.
Corbin Blue, Dove Cameron.
Yeah.
And then we go on to Chiquitita.
Oh, Chiquitita. I love this song. And I thought it was perfect for the two best friends to sing it to.
This is a time where the comedy can work.
Right.
You know? And, you know, they're trying to cheer their friend up. So obviously they're being silly and stuff, trying to get her to smile.
Yes.
So that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I just love that scene and I love that song. So it was, I think that, you know, I think the way they did it with the bathroom and everything was really funny.
Oh. Oh, I thought you had something to say. And then Dancing Queen comes next, where they even further this, like, in the show.
Oh, you can just talk back.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, I was just doing the praise hands thing.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I thought you were raising, like, can I please talk? And I'm like, you're on the panel.
No, I was doing the praise hands thing.
Got it.
Like the emoji.
Got it.
Oh, yes.
For this one, like, Dancing Queen, because in the theater show, they do it as, that's the first song that they do on their, like, little concert for her bachelorette party.
Yes.
And in this one, they have them in their, like, hotel room.
Right.
Trying on random different costumes.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I don't know. For me, I just, like, maybe it's just because I'm a fan of the show. I just want them to be in their 60s, 70s super outfits. And
it didn't really bother me because they do that in the end credits.
When they did in the end credits, I was better with it.
Yeah.
But when the first time I watched it, you know, it's like, I was just like, wait, where's their outfits?
You know what?
And then they do their outfits.
And that
one
also had
party.
A lot of sexual innuendos going on in that.
It did.
Same song, too.
You know what this scene reminds me of?
Huh.
Kind of an adult version of You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile from Annie.
A very adult version.
Okay.
I'm not sure I agree.
I think it's funny.
But I think that's funny.
Yes, either way.
And then the next song that we go to, which was weird for me being a fan of the show and listening to the soundtrack so often because it's out of place, and I'm like, wait, this doesn't come next. They put Our Last Summer in and have the guys do it as a trio with Sophie on the boat. And that's where we get the flashbacks.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, wait, this isn't where this goes. What's happening here?
Yeah,
that's not this song. This song goes almost at the end of the musical, and it's Donna and Harry. So I was like very confused by that at first.
It didn't bother me. The only things that bother me are when they took out songs that I enjoyed. Or they
took out two of my favorite songs from the show. So.
And then they didn't, you know, there are certain songs from ABBA that I love. Like, Fernando is one of my favorite songs, and it's just not in the musical.
Might be in the sequel.
I know. I'm holding on for that hope. And I'm also holding on for the hope that Waterloo actually becomes, like, a song in the play, because they do it... when they had the little dance concert in the end, they do it in the credits, but it's not in the actual, like, musical. So I'd love to see that, too. Although I'm not sure how you would fit that in. Like, you made my life suck. Although, actually, you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because like if we're doing, especially because in the sequel, it looks like it's going to do a lot of prequelness, too.
Yes, like I saw that. I saw that there was going to be a lot of prequelness, which I was excited about because I love the mad 70s outfits.
And then we have Lay All Your Love on Me.
Favorite number. Favorite song of ABBA. Favorite number.
I thought it was a very fun song for the way they did it in the movie. I think that choreographed-wise, it was really... The choreography in the film, I think, was really on point.
Yeah.
And fun.
I mean, it still reminded me of, like, the... Because they do have the divers in the stage show. There are just not as many of them.
Yeah, in the movie, I think I said today, I was like, wow, he has a lot of friends.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
For like, everyone in town is his friend.
Really for such a small island.
Right?
Like, there's a lot of people.
And from him, like, explicitly stating that he's, like, not originally from this island, and you're like, you made friends fast.
Yeah.
You have all these friends.
Or, like, you have all these friends at the island, plus you have all the friends that are, like, still good enough friends that they want to come over here.
Yeah.
I mean, I would travel there.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I had a choice, too.
And for him. And for him, I would.
For Dominic?
Yeah.
Or for or for Sky. Sky's the character. Dominic's the actor.
Both. They're both cute. Whatever.
Both.
Yeah, I love them as a couple. Like, I thought they had a lot of... I think they dated at the time.
Mm-hmm. I think they did, too.
Yeah, I think they were dating at the time. So there's a lot of chemistry between them.
Really?
So that's why I really love this song. And then I love that they still brought the divers in, because I was worried.
I also just love that she's in a bathing suit, like, 98% of the show.
Right?
Wait.
So she can show off her amazing spray tan.
I'm still on the
and her
they
awesome
dated
boobs.
Thing.
Right.
And then we move on to Super Trooper, which now we're at the bachelorette party, and this is where they do, just like in the show, come out
right.
on the stage, sing for them. They they do it in a more less, like, it seems less embarrassing. I remember in the show her being like very embarrassed or something, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe in the film she's more embarrassed. I can't remember. One of them she's more embarrassed for her mom singing
yeah,
on stage.
Yeah, I don't think when I watched the movie it didn't seem like she was
so maybe in the theater show
yeah.
she was just like covered her hands
yeah.
for when I saw it or something. That was a fun one. Like I said, we got the outfits, which that made me happy.
I love the big dance party. Like, anytime they have, like, a bunch of people, because that's, you can't hire as many actors for a stage show. So anytime mm-hmm. you have, like, an impressive amount of people, like, on in a film dancing, it's always really exciting
yeah,
to me.
I was like, dang, there's a lot of extras in this movie.
And I like some of the, like, the random combinations of extras. Like, I forget what song it is where, like, she has the whole town coming out and dancing
yeah.
with her. Was that Chiquitita, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I can't. I literally just watched this morning. But
yeah, I can't remember. It was one number where it's, like, basically, like, everybody in the town ends up on the pier, like, dancing with her. And I'm like, that's cute. I like that.
Oh, it wasn't Chiquitita. It was Money.
Money.
It's
that's what it was.
World. Yeah. Money. And then we have Gimme, 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 Man After Midnight, and Voulez-Vous. I put them together because I feel like they're kind of one song.
They have the same kind of
the first
sound.
Half is yeah. her feeling like she found her father, and the second half is the other two being like, wait, I'm your father.
Mm-hmm.
And her just being like, now what do I do?
Now I want wait. The sequel to have a DNA test, because it was driving me crazy. It's been driving me
yeah.
crazy.
No, because I don't believe it. Still, like, I don't know.
We all know it's Sam.
But, oh.
I don't
but
think it's Sam.
It's
I
Sam.
Think it's. I think it's Harry. I do think it's Harry.
I think so. No, that's who I wanted it to be honest.
No, it's Sam.
Because he wants a daughter so badly, it would just be perfect if it was Harry. Because
I don't think they're going to do a DNA test, because they don't want to give that away. They want it to be a mystery.
See,
I
would love
they
that.
They want it to be they each have a third. They're a third apparent.
Because
then, if you think about it, two of them don't have kids. Sam's
tweet at us and
does.
Let us know which one
who
you think
you
it
want
is,
it to be.
Or who you want
I'll
it to be.
I'll do a poll on Twitter.
I want it to be Harry, because then you have, because Sam already has kids, and then you have him as the stepdad now. And then Harry has said he wants kids, but he's gay, so he's not going to really have a biological child necessarily.
Yeah. He has his dogs. And he's sweet, and I love Colin Firth.
I know.
I love Colin Firth,
too.
Everyone loves Colin Firth. If you don't love Colin Firth, I don't know who
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, something's wrong with you, and I don't trust you if you don't love Colin Firth.
And this movie had Colin Firth with a guitar, like...
My favorite scene
awesome.
Of Colin Firth in this entire film is him running away from her after he gives her the check.
Oh, yes.
With
yeah.
his little life vest on.
Yes.
That is my ultimate
He's
favorite
so
Colin
cute.
Firth scene.
That is really cute.
And then there's... They deleted the scene of the name of the game, which is when she discovers that Bill's probably her father because her aunt left
oh,
the money to her mom.
Right.
And he was like, I heard that money went to family. The only reason I could think that they would delete the scene is because Skarsgård maybe didn't feel comfortable singing a whole song, because he
would
doesn't.
Make sense.
But then it still doesn't make sense to me, because Pierce Brosnan sings like four.
Pierce Brosnan is just very confident in himself.
A little too confident, I feel.
Right?
I mean, maybe they did for time too, but I really love the name of the game. Because it's her being like, you're my father, and him being like scared to talk to her mom, but like convincing himself like, I need to do this.
Right.
And you never really get that from, in this one they make Bill very like, I don't know if I can have a daughter, like, I don't know if I can do this, like until the very end, like he's kind of like, even on the boat talking to Harry, like.
Right. Yeah, I was like, dang, he's not good for this family.
Well, I mean, his character in the movie is just kind of like.
Wishy-washy.
Yeah, really wishy-washy until, like, the last minute where he decides, like, I'm cool
I'm also
with this.
Gonna be a father.
Right.
Well, which also adds to the wishy-washiness, I feel like, kind of.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
true.
And then we move on to SOS. They completely skip over one of my favorite songs.
SOS is so painful.
Yeah, it's very painful. But one of my favorite songs is the one that happens right before it when she does the whole, they pass me by, all of those great... I can't remember the name of the song, but... But it's such a sad song, but, like, I love it because it's so truthful of just her being like, this is why I'm mad at you. I need you to know that I'm still in pain because I was never able to move on from you because of how you left things.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she's not singing it to him directly, but I think it's just, it works so well with their story. It makes you understand their story even better. And I was really sad that it was gone. I was happy they kept the little, like, talking part at the end.
Yeah.
The little, you know, like, I'm free, I'm single, and it's great. Even though she did it sadly, we're in the show, it's very angry.
Yeah.
And we just went straight to SOS, where we first really get a chance to hear Pierce Brosnan sing. We heard him in the beginning, but our last summer. But this is where we really get
this is where we get the Pierce Brosnan like prolonged solo, which is not. It hurts me a lot because I really love the song SOS.
Like hurts you or hurts your ears?
It hurts my soul.
It's like you love the song SOS and you love Pierce Brosnan.
I know. I want the two things to marry, but they don't.
And then you're like, he's so attractive, so his voice will be attractive. And then he opens his mouth and you're like,
how could such a beautiful man have literally no ear for music?
And why did we allow this to be put out?
You know,
why did
funny?
We not find someone to dub over him, or so, why did we not auto-tune it?
Yeah, we should have. Like, we should have done that. We should have done this. But you know what's funny is I was watching it on Amazon, and Amazon has those little like facts. Mm-hmm. Like if you click on the side while you're watching it, they have like who's in it, little factoids. And I clicked when I was starting it. I was like looking at the little facts, and it was like the first fact was Pierce Brosnan had no idea what he was getting himself into. He signed up without knowing what this was, and I was like, "That makes sense. That
but
makes
still,
a lot of sense.
Why not just dub the voice?
Why I don't
not
know
find someone that could
I
sing
don't know.
And dub the voice.
We did this in West Side Story.
We've
it can
done
be
it for
done.
Years. It's
yeah.
for pretty much the
or auto-tune.
1950 to 1980 films that were made had dubbed voices. Not that I agreed with that. Like you should find someone that can sing, but at the very least, I'll take that over hearing the bad singing.
Yes,
or
yes.
auto-tune.
Or auto-tune. Like even though auto-tune's also painful, I'm assuming it had to be better than what we got.
Yeah,
I tweeted that he tried.
He tried.
So. Lots of people try lots of things. Most of them aren't.
It's one
in
of the reasons
movies.
I'm so excited that they were doing prequelness for the sequel, so that maybe he won't sing in the sequel.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible that they're casting, because we do know that they're casting younger versions of some of the characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet.
I'm assuming, because we know Donna. We already have who's playing Donna.
Right.
So I'm assuming that means we're going to get to see her interacting with these three men on the island.
Right, and I assume they're going to be casting younger versions, hopefully younger versions who are, like, actual, like, singers.
Yeah.
And so that way we can still enjoy Pierce Brosnan's good looks without listening to him sing.
And then thankfully they got, even though I love the song, but because of the singing, thankfully they got rid of Knowing Me, Knowing You.
Yes, yes.
I do love that song. It's one of my favorites as well, but I don't want to hear Pierce Brosnan sing
yeah.
it. And we went straight to Does Your Mother Know, which I've always loved that song. It's a fun song, but I did not understand the bathing suit they had her in at all. I was like, this is the least sexy bathing suit you could put her in.
I think they did it on purpose, though, because I was having the same, like, thoughts about that. But I think they did it because I'm like, her boobs are so big, and this is supposed to be a... like family-friendly movie, and we already have a lot of innuendo going on, and she's supposed to be like
okay,
a young innocent kind of character, so I think they had her in a lot of these like more covered up one pieces because they didn't want it to be like boobs, butt, stomach, like everything.
But for this song, like that's like what you need though, because he's going after her because of her sexuality.
Yeah, but
like her dress code was like Disney Channel dress code.
The Disney Channel Mamma Mia. I mean, it was funny. It was funny. Like, the dancing was fun. She put him in a diaper. Nothing much else to say, I think, about this song.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking of the Christine Bransky song. I was thinking of the song where Amanda Seyfried's on the boat. Yeah, Christine Bransky, you just don't want to see her in a different type of bathing suit.
I'm just thinking they could have made it a little better looking.
But she got no boobs.
But that's the problem, is this suit was so baggy on her because of that.
Yeah.
It just didn't do anything.
I know.
It didn't create any sex appeal.
They could have put her in, like, some sort of, like, flowy muumuu situation, like, just to make her look, like, ridiculous but rich. No, but
yeah, like, they could have done something better than that.
Yeah, I was thinking of Amanda Seyfried on the boat.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Not Amanda Seyfried. She has sex appeal.
Yes. No, this was my problem with Christine Bransky, is, like, I just don't find Christine Bransky particularly sexy, and, like, I'm sure there are tons of people out there who do, but I was like, I just don't see her in this kind of role.
The only part I liked from the song is when she walked away and being like, we done good.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
And then we get Slipping Through My Fingers, which, one of my favorite songs from the show, one of my favorite songs in the movie. I think it's, and them together was just so great for me for this.
The camera shot at the beginning was also really good.
With her in the mirror?
With her in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I was like, oh.
They're cute together. Like, they're filming. They act well together. They picked.
And they look alike.
Yeah, they look alike. They both have the same best hands.
Yeah.
And this this musical being such a mother-daughter musical and stuff, like I said, like any daughter that's watching it, like that doesn't have a bad relationship with their mother, is like whenever that song hits you, if you've grown up, you're like, oh my god, my mom.
Yeah, it was really cute.
So it did a good job of that for me, especially, well, I mean, Meryl Streep's an amazing actress,
right?
So
right.
But even just like the cute little in-betweens of them like laughing and looking at old photos, then the day of her daughter's mm-hmm. wedding.
And you get the sense that they're, you know, because they were each other's, like, only family for mm-hmm. the longest time. And so it's, like, this, you get the sense that they have that kind of closeness.
And then, yeah, and they finally kind of, like, speak out to each other. Like, she said, tells her mom, like, you know, I wanted to do better for you because you did all this on your own. And her mom's right. like, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I want for you.
Yeah.
Which I think is an important thing to know. Because I think, like, you can easily take away from Donna that she's doesn't want her daughter to leave because she doesn't want to be alone. But I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either.
And I think that she wants to do this more. Song really pulls that through. It's like she wants the best for her daughter. It's just sad for her because she is all she has.
Yeah. And I also like her wedding dress. I just thought it was a pretty wedding dress.
I did too. I didn't like the veil.
No, I didn't either. I was like,
I wanted them to keep it with just the flowers yes! like you see at the end of that song.
Oh my
song.
Gosh. Yes. Yes, exactly. That's the whole time I was thinking of this. I was like, if this was just the flowers and the wedding dress, it would be perfect. But that veil is too much.
No, but I like weird of the dress.
Right? Yeah, the dress was gorgeous. The dress was gorgeous. I love the fact that they kept like that kind of Greek feeling.
Yeah.
With the flowiness.
That's exactly mm-hmm. what I thought, because the dress has that kind of like wrap around like an mm-hmm. old Grecian toga kind of outfit.
And then we move on to Winner Takes It All, also. Great song.
I love that song. I just love that song.
And I love the final shot of, like, Meryl Streep just sitting there, like, looking at him down. I don't think we needed him yelling Donna. It could have just been him looking up at her. But
yeah.
It just, ugh.
It was, I mean,
her emotion in the song is really good.
I also liked the way they filmed it on this, like, side of the hill where you see, like, you get to see the whole place where they're having a wedding.
How far everyone has to walk up for this wedding.
Right?
There had to be some wine at the top of the hill
for the next 30 days.
They're, like, walking, like, Game of Thrones paths just to get to this wedding. I was like, what is happening? And they're all going either on foot or on donkey. I'm like, what is this?
I would go on donkey. I've ridden a donkey before.
I've never ridden a donkey, but it sounds
like,
very exciting.
I'm just like, there better be some, like, refreshments at the top of that hill.
Exactly.
Because if your guests are walking all the way up there, like, right? Give them some snacks.
And they're walking to some, like, sweaty church with no air conditioning.
Yeah, but they all have fans.
Oh, yeah.
Also, how did she get so much further up the hill than him? Like, was he just really out of shape? Or like, she wasn't moving that fast, dude.
Right?
You couldn't catch her?
I don't know the answer to that one.
You just didn't have motivation.
Then we're in the church where all the weirdness happens of, like, them stopping the wedding a million times to talk their personal feelings out.
My part of my happiness at this ending was, like, it would suck if you were, I'm sorry, Sophie. If you were Sophie and this was, like, actually your wedding, and it got interrupted so many times. So I'm like, I'm very thankful that they didn't get married at this point, because I feel like her wedding was ruined. That's how I was feeling. And I'm like,
about to have the wedding. And she's like, wait.
Yeah.
I don't care if you slept with 100 men, mom. And then it's like, wait, your father, Sophie's father. Three guys stand up. I don't know who it is. let's all hash this out right now.
Right, exactly. They're hashing this all out. It was supposed to be like and Sophie and Skye's special day.
And then she's like, you know what? We don't need to get married. We've been planning all this time, putting all this money. My mom had to put all this stress and money into this. But you know what? Let's actually do what you want to do and just go travel.
I'm glad
not that I disagree with that, but I'm like, can we come to
this
realization
earlier? But didn't
Harry
already pay for this? So I feel like it doesn't really matter.
But in the theater show, he did.
Yeah, that's true.
But at the same time, think of, like, what an amazing story that would be to, like, be like, all this chaos happened at my wedding.
Becca, I'm coming to your wedding, and I'm going to interrupt it with three random people. That's all what's right. going to happen.
It's going to be, like, I don't know how many years in the future, but not happening anytime soon. Sorry, parents.
And then we go on to I Do, I Do, I Do, which is probably my least favorite song in this, just because one of the over-comedicness of it, and Meryl Streep even, like, didn't have the greatest voice in this because they have her singing while she's kissing him.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird. I mean, the song makes sense at that moment. It's also, like, it makes sense in terms of the story, but you're right.
It's also weird because they cut out these other songs and we don't get the full realization of Sam and Donna and how much they do care about each other.
Right.
That the film, it feels weird that she literally just said saying the winner takes it all to him. We have no more interaction with them. But let's get married.
You know what's funny is
I didn't even think
about that because having seen the play first, you insert those things without like.
But if you just see the movie, it's a very weird. You're just literally crying over this guy, telling him that you don't want to talk to him, that he
Becca,
hurt you so bad.
Did you see
so
the
bad.
Play before the movie?
I haven't, but I didn't think about that.
Oh, so it didn't bother you?
No, but maybe
it's just weird
I just
to me. It was just like he was just like, hey,
way.
Hey, just you know, why waste a good wedding? Yeah. Huh? And I have a ring. Just randomly have it. I took it off Skye. Let's do this thing.
Well, it didn't bother Becca. So if you've not seen the play, let us know if this bothers you or not.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they probably actually weren't really married because they don't have a marriage license or anything. All they did was have a ceremony.
That is true.
So let's see what happened afterwards.
You don't know. Maybe that priest man is also like a court marshal or something. I don't know.
He has multiple jobs.
He's a notary.
He's like a judge and a public notary. Come on.
There are plenty of witnesses, so we've got
right.
that covered.
And this is Greece. We don't know what their rules are there.
True. And maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't need a marriage license in Greece.
That's where they have it in Greece.
And then we come to the song that they decided to write for Pierce Brosnan. To sing.
Why would you do
that? The song that was not in the show.
Why would you do that?
They wrote a song.
Well, we all know they're going to write a song. Every movie
musical
writes a song.
Well, yeah, but why would you do that
for
Pierce Brosnan?
But why have him sing it?
Yeah.
Of everyone you could choose.
Right. Why wouldn't you pick Meryl Streep or the young couple?
To make the audience go deaf?
Yeah, to make the audience cry in pain.
And pain. Again, he tried.
And then we move on to Take a Chance on Me, which I feel they decided to put this in a very weird spot in the movie.
Yeah, I felt
to
like
that. To
have
that kind of be the ending?
Yeah. It was weird. Because I also love that song, and I love that scene in the play.
And for those of you who haven't seen the play, the scene happens before the wedding.
Right.
Right before the wedding when they get to the church. It's just Rosie and Bill, and they kind of have that whole...
They have a moment.
...thing. And it's a very comedic part, and I loved... what's her face in this? Even her little eye thing's like,
yeah.
Take a chance on me.
It was a very funny scene, but you're right. Like, I felt the same way.
It's like love, and we all love each other, and everything's good. That feels like the end. Nope. Let's have a comedic
song. Afterthought. I was like, why is this comedic afterthought happening here?
The whole thing I thought during that scene was because now I know that it's Molly Weasley. I was like, oh, now I'm never going to watch Harry Potter the same way ever again.
So they do that whole thing. Everybody gets to, we get to see everybody coincide with their other, everyone telling everyone to take a chance on them.
Yeah.
Even though most people already have. And then they're all jumping and break the dolphin stone.
I like that scene because, again, it's another big, like, another big group dance number.
I was just, like, in my head, I was just like, if I owned that and, like, they broke that and water started, I'd be like, oh.
She just fixed it.
I have no money left. Well, at least I'm married now.
Pierce Brosnan's character
maybe,
seems
yeah,
to have
maybe
money.
He has money. I don't know. I don't know what his divorce settlement was like.
Yeah. He could have got something good out of it.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, then it's the Aphrodite fountain that sprung, and then that's the end before the credits go through, and then we get, well, not the end, we still have them leaving on the boat for the end with the three dads, which I love that shot.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful shot of the nighttime boat leaving. Mm-hmm. So
I'm glad that they
continued with that to have that be the final
ending. And
I like,
it's kind of a bookend, where it is a bookend, because it reprises the beginning where she's mm-hmm. sending out the letters, and then now she's met them. Yeah. So.
And so that was the end. Overall, I do enjoy the film. Like, I think I like, there's more pros than cons to me in it. I just wish that there'd been a little more thought process in certain parts of it. I thought that the comedicness kind of overshone the music at parts, and obviously, we need Pierce Brosnan to have a different voice.
Yes.
We need him to get
any
a voice
final
makeover.
Thoughts on that, you guys?
I'm interested, like, knowing that they're going to be doing prequels, like, prequel things for the sequel. I'm excited because I feel like that means that they're going to, A, get a chance to use more ABBA songs, which is amazing, and then, B, not have Pierce Brosnan sing, but then have other people sing as well.
Yeah.
So I think there is potential for a lot of exciting things.
I just think the story is sweet and happy, and yeah. I like happy. So
yeah,
it's a very cute story. I mean, I would definitely say I enjoy the theater show over the film. But I didn't hate the film.
I think I enjoyed the theater show just because I saw it first. And then I do think that Becca had a good point where it's like when you're younger and you see that kind of like over the top acting, mm-hmm. like it really resonates with younger people than it does with like an older person watching it. Cause then you're like, oh wow, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
But I see it as a family friendly film, why they would do that.
Yeah. And I definitely think it was meant to be family friendly cause I saw it like, when it came out, and how old was I when it came out?
Please don't tell me you were like 5, because it's just gonna break my heart.
The film came out in 2008. And the Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again is gonna be in 2018.
Oh, so it's 10 years later.
July 20th, 2018 is the official release date for that one.
Wait, that's not far.
I have a feeling, like, wouldn't it be cool if the plot line is just, like, Sky and Sophie's, like, wedding again because they didn't get married at the end of the actual first one?
It probably will be.
Yeah.
I bet it will end with them getting married. Yeah. That's my prediction.
Or not getting married.
Not getting married again.
That would suck. That would make me sad.
Then there's a third movie.
And there's a third.
This did get a Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Supporting Actor, Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah,
he won the award.
Woo!
Good job! Good job, Pierce.
Acting-wise, he wasn't bad.
No, not at all. So I think it's just that,
we should amend that to worst singing award.
It really was the worst. No, his acting wasn't bad at all. It really was just the singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You guys have anything else you want to add before we wrap it up today?
No, those are my final thoughts.
Yeah.
And I have some sad news today, guys. Unfortunately, this is actually our last show for the time being. We are turning the lights off on Broadway Breakdown for right now. Please keep up with us, though, because we still plan to have some interviews potentially coming up, and we'll hopefully be able to kind of bring this back in a different way or in the same way later on down the line. So definitely keep up with us. Definitely keep checking in, because we're not going away, but we just will not be doing the show weekly right now. So unfortunately, we will not see you next week.
And to those of you who have loyally been tuning in, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we very, very much appreciate you, and that's why we definitely want you to keep track with us, because we don't want to... We want to be able to come back at some point. Just can't, unfortunately, at the moment.
And we're glad we got to end with Brianna's favorite performance of all time, Pierce Brosnan.
I feel like since almost the first show, I've been talking about how bad he was.
I know.
And so it makes sense to
it
end
really
on this
does
note.
Make sense to end on this note.
All right, guys. For the last time, you can find me at BFIPS14 on Twitter and Instagram. And where can they find you guys one last time?
Y'all can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BeccaBTalksTV.
I'm 123 Jackie B on all platforms.
Bye, guys. Have a great week, and we'll see you later.
We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.